in verse 9, and we'll go to verse 11. Last week we talked about having charity, fervent charity among yourselves. The word charity literally means love. You know, people think of it as money, but it's or giving or something, but it's love. And so you don't really give without loving. And so charity is in verse 8. And then verse 9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And that leads us into verse 10, which says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to read this here. Giving, living. Your living should be giving. You should have giving, living. So we're talking about strength and we're talking about being strong in giving. This is not a lesson because we're really behind on our finances. We're not. In fact, the purpose of teaching on giving is not because the church needs money. The purpose of teaching on giving is because we need to learn to do that. It's the right thing to do. It's you know, everything that God made and created gives. You know, the flowers give. The sun gives. The rain gives. The birds give. Everything that God made gives. And we need to recognize that that's God's intention. And we receive. And like Jenny quoted already in Acts 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You're more blessed when you're giving than receiving. I get more joy out of the giving than I do the receiving. Now, you say, oh, sure. Well, there might be some receiving that's a real praise, but I'll tell you what, it's not as satisfying as the giving and knowing that God used me to be a giver. And I love the first verse, the first sentence in this page. It says, all of us exchange our lives for something. All of us live our lives for something. We exchange it. We use our life for something. In Matthew 16:26, that Sherita was paraphrasing. Just kidding. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's quite a question. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And there are people who sell their souls to the devil. They even sing about it in rock music songs and whatnot. But what do you give for your life? What exchange have you made? True happiness and contentment for right here on the earth comes through obeying God and for eternity, obviously. When we give to the Lord, it's not a waste. The Bible says your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We sang already, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where the moth and rust can't corrupt, thieves can't break through and steal. Lay up your treasure in heaven. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're dealing with a matter to which most Christians have never given the proper consideration. And that's there in verse 10 and 11 of 1 Peter 4. And so let's look at it as we talk about it. The Bible says in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. And this is what giving living is. You've been given something, and now it's your opportunity to pay it forward or to give it out to someone else. Notice this sentence. I think this is a good sentence too. God will give us to give what he will never give us to keep. God, when God can trust us to not hang on to it, he'll give it to us so that we'll then pass it on to where it needs to go. And I'm always concerned because I have a human nature just like you, and there's always that tendency, well, I better hedge myself, hedge my own bet. I better make sure I'm, and to start accumulating instead of just letting it go on and pass it on like a channel. Now, at the same time, God does bless. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, as we sang, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you seek first his kingdom, he does provide, and we are blessed beyond measure. But God will give us to give what he will never give us to keep. I was thinking about my son Caleb, who years ago went with Joseph to South Africa for a missions trip. And he learned while he was there that the missionary had a need for a pickup. And Caleb had some savings, not a lot, but he had some money in the savings account as a 16, 17-year-old kid. And however old they were, maybe 18. And he called home or then emailed home and said, I'd like to give $500 of that towards that truck. And it was, you know, I think the whole price was maybe $1,000 or $1,500. And what do you think of that? And, of course, his mother and I thought that was great. Now, if he'd have wanted to buy himself a truck, we probably wouldn't have thought that was such a big, you know, deal. But the fact that he wanted to give it out. And you know, the Lord has blessed Caleb. And I believe, in fact, he just sent us a book. We haven't read it yet. It's just a little booklet. He wants us all to read it before he gets here in Christmas. And it's about materialism. Well, I'm already encouraged that he's recognizing materialism can be a problem. He just passed his PE test the other day. And PE stands for professional engineer. And a professional engineer stands to make a good chunk of money. All right? I was teasing him, you know, PE test, that's not hard. All I had to do was show up in my sweats and tennis shoes. I passed PE, no problem. But I appreciate the fact that he's not focused. Hey, guy, you want to just go to your class? Chase, I think your class is where Sam is. You want to just go down to your classroom where Sam is? Good to see you. Thanks, Les. And the point is, though, is that God will bless if he can trust you not to hang on to it and to just bury it and use it for yourself. And I enjoy that. I'm constantly aware that I'm guilty of hoarding what God would not want me to hoard. Over in Israel, there's a sea called the Dead Sea. And it's on the southern end of Israel. The northern sea is Galilee. And then there's this river Jordan that flows out of Galilee and goes all the way down and trickles into the Dead Sea. And the problem with the Dead Sea is one thing. It has no outlet. It's so low in elevation that the water can't go anywhere. And so I've been told, and I've even floated in it myself, I've been told that the reason why it is a Dead Sea is because it's so rich in minerals. It's rich in minerals, but it has no outlet. So it stagnates and literally becomes worthless and is not really that good for anything. And I don't want to be like that as a Christian, a Dead Sea Christian, where I receive a lot, but I don't give out. I hope that you'll be praying with me about some ministry needs. Unfortunately, we're going to have our daughter get married, and that's a bummer, because she wants to get married and live with her husband, and I think that's just a little unreasonable. But her husband wants to live in West Virginia and Maryland instead of here, and so we're going to lose her. We're going to lose a piano player. And that's a great blessing to have a second piano player, organ player. And we'll lose a junior church teacher that we've used as well. And so there's a need for someone to step up and to and to be a giver in that way. See, giving isn't just money. Giving is just your life. It's what you do with your life and what God would have you to do with your life. And so anyhow, we either consume our lives on ourselves, or we give our lives away. Now, if you're a Christian, you got to realize, you got to do some math here. All right, I'm going to live maybe 70, maybe 80, maybe 90, maybe 95, 100 years old. All right, let's say I'm really healthy and I make it to 100. But heaven lasts forever. Eternity is just thousands of years that go on forever. We don't even have a way to count it. And so why would we hoard for 100 years what we could invest in for eternity? And yet many people are doing that. They're living everything right now as if now is all that matters. That's not Christianity. There's this preacher, pretend pastor in Texas named Joel Osteen. He's got this huge church of 40-some thousand people. They were doing some remodeling this week, and some plumber found $600,000 in the wall of the bathroom that somebody had stolen and hidden the wall of the bathroom. I mean, money just flows through that place. It's the old Houston Astros dome is what it is. That's their church building. And he wrote a book, Your Best Life Now. Well, that sounds very appealing. I want my best life now. No, you know what? As a Christian, our best life is later. You know, this is all right. I don't mind, but the best life is yet to come. And I have no use for the TV preachers who fly around in their jets and all that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about truly living for the Lord and recognizing that the future will be even better than the present. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The last paragraph says, God has given his children spiritual gifts to be used for his glory. And he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for this reason, to profit withal. In other words, that it will be a profitable thing for other people. If God has blessed you with a talent, use it for the Lord. It could very well be that somebody in our congregation does know how to play the piano and then never told anybody or afraid to use it. It could be that someone does have the ability to teach but is not willing to use it. It could be that someone does have something that they could do or give but is unwilling or uncertain about doing it. The purpose of God giving you things is so that we can profit together from it. That's the idea here. God will not allow those spiritual gifts to function in us except as we use them in his work. He's not going to bless us and multiply that gift and expand that gift if we're not going to use it for his glory. If I say like Moses, I don't speak very well. Remember the excuse Moses gave? I don't speak very well. The Lord can help us with that. God is the God of the impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. If I use the excuse, well, I'm not a very good speaker, that doesn't mean God can't use you. If God's called you to be a speaker, do it anyway. And he'll develop that ability and he'll develop that gift as you use it for his glory. And it will become better over time. You'll get better at it. You don't have to decide that only the talented people should be doing that. That's not necessarily so. It could be that God's going to equip the person he's called. Just trust him to teach you and give you the ability to do what he's called you to do. And if you don't use it, you lose it. Because he's given it to you to be used. So we only have one opportunity to invest our lives wisely. It's right now. You can't invest your life after eternity. It's too late then. It has to be now. What are you doing for the Lord with your life now? What's it all about? I like to talk about this wall as being the day you got born. And you live a healthy life and you die at 98 years old. And then the rest of it is forever. This certainly isn't a whole lot compared to all the rest of the world. It's not a good investment to live for that just little dash between the dates. It's not a good investment. So think about it. That's why we do what we do. That's why we own vans that pick up children. And you know what's interesting? God pays for those vans. God does. And God provides someone to drive the vans and to help with the vans. You know what? One of our vans is not here. It's down at Steel getting repainted. Steel went out and looked at it, and he said, the door on the driver's side is all rusty. He said, I think it'd be easier to just buy a whole new door and put on there than try to paint that rusty door. That's okay. And said, we'll just touch up the top, and that'll be good enough for you, won't it? I said, well, yeah, how much? You know, no, I'm not going to charge you. You just bring it down. We'll just fit it in when we can. Now we got to wait 6 months for him to finally fit it in, but he does it for free. Now, we didn't ask for that. We got money. We'll pay for it. But God wants to pay for it. Jay doesn't come to this church. I wish he did. But I'm just thankful that God used him. He's done that before. And there are other people who the Lord touches, and I don't necessarily look to Jay or look to somebody else. I just look to the Lord. As God pays for what he wants done, and the Lord said, "Suffer the children to come unto me, and forbid them not." And we need to always recognize how valuable the young people are, and that's why we do what we do. That's the whole point of it, is to serve the Lord and to reach young people. They're so special because, in a lot of ways, their potential isn't damaged like us adults sometimes. You know what I mean? They don't have as much scarring and as much baggage. And they've got greater potential and greater opportunity. And we can salvage those lives and work with those. And we want to be that for them. And so we of course, then rejoice when a child comes to church for a while and then the parent gets saved and they want to come. And so then they don't ride the van anymore because their dad, like Treg over there, their dad brings them to church. That's a blessing. All right? That's really the goal. And the van would be more full if Treg wouldn't bring his kids to church in his own car, but that's okay because that means that we're gaining ground here. And we see other parents that start to get saved and added to the church. That's the point. So I'm encouraged with what the Lord's given us to do. And then on top of that, we have 40-some missionaries that we're supporting and sending funds to meet needs and take care of around the world. And we'll hear some needs today and next week of just missionaries who need prayer. And in a lot of cases, these missionaries, even if we sent them lots of money, it wouldn't fix their problem. Their problem isn't a money problem right now. It's their government that they have to deal with, or health issues or something like that. But we can be a blessing by being a blessing to them. We can receive that blessing as well by knowing that it's more blessed to give than to receive. It just really is. So page 38, the God of our lives. When we read these verses in 1 Peter 4, 10, 11, we should be thankful to God for the life He has given us. And we just talked about Thanksgiving last week. He is the source of all life. Everything begins with God. Everything good that I have, everything good that I can possibly accomplish, God gives me the ability to do it. He's the one that gave me life. Every time a baby is born, or when there's a pregnancy, it's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, we can't make that happen. Only God can do that. It's an awful thing for us to believe there is one true and living God, and then not allow Him to be the God of our lives, to be the Lord of our life, to recognize Him as being the all-powerful God, but then not letting Him have the control of our life. Every one of us needs to come to the place in life where we are willing to yield. Yield to the Lord, because we know without Him we would not exist, and so we surrender. We should be willing to give our lives to Him in full surrender. The reason why Hannah is marrying a preacher and going to work in a church back east is because she surrendered to God her life. It's not just because He happens to be living there. It's because she surrendered to serve the Lord in ministry. He's not the first guy to come along, or even the second guy to come along. There are other guys that came along, but they weren't interested in ministry full-time, and I know that she was, and I felt like she was, and so I could tell that that was the direction she was going. Surrendering our life. I think that Hannah would be glad to go to Africa or Asia if that's where God was to lead her. I don't think it matters where they live. And that's because we let God have the choice. I'm not living in Custer because I'm really, really impressed with the beautiful scenery around here. I'm living in Custer because God told me this is where I should be. And that's why I'm here. And that's how we live our lives. We should just, every move we make, we should decide, where does God want me to be? What job does He want me to have? What should I be doing? It shouldn't just be about dollars an hour. So many people make decisions based on dollars an hour. That's not what it's about. It's about, what does God want me to do with my life? And then, secondly, the giving of our lives then, when we recognize that God's in charge, all we got to do is figure out what He wants us to do. It's really easy. I like it. It's a simple way to live. I just got to be where He wants me to be and do what He wants me to do. That's all I got to do. I just let Him have the choice. And so then the giving of our lives, verse 10 again says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So have you been given something from God? Well, sure you have. We all have been given something from God. And if you're saved, obviously you've been given salvation. So what are you supposed to do with that? Live happily ever after. Give it on. In other words, pass it on and pay it forward to someone who does not yet know about salvation. Minister the same one to another. If you got saved later in life, you have probably a sympathy and an understanding for someone else who comes in and they're struggling or they're not saved or whatever it might be, and maybe you're grandparent age now, but you used to be a parent that was struggling with children or whatever it might be, or marriage, and you can now be a help to that younger one that walks in. We're to give, we're to pay it forward, we're to recognize that God's given us a gift so that we can now minister with that, so that we can use that to help and be a blessing to someone. God's blessings are to come to us and through us to others. Not just to come to us and stick with us, but to come to us and then through us on to others. In other words, what we get from God must not stop with us. It's got to move on. Life is not simply getting, it is giving. Life is not simply getting. There's a lot of getters out there. They're not happy. It isn't the getting that makes you happy. It's the giving, and giving for the right reason. So the giving of our lives. The Word of God says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the story of these servants. And a steward is like a servant. A steward doesn't really own anything themselves. They just manage what somebody else owns. There are people here in Custer that do that. There are people that own houses, plural. Not me. But there are people that own houses, plural. And they pay people just to manage the house that they're not currently living in, their vacation home. So there are people in this area right here who take care of a property they don't own. They're a steward. And the job of a steward is to just do a good job and to manage it well and to take care of it and to see to it that it is well cared for and that it is being cared for in a good and frugal and positive, profitable way. And that's what we are to be, good stewards. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 that stewards are to be faithful. You can't show up once in a while. You got to be diligent in what you're doing. So as a good steward, I want to recognize my health is supposed to be managed well. The reason why I don't smoke is not because they came out 20 or 30 years ago and said it was a bad idea. The reason why I don't smoke is not because it costs however many dollars a pack it costs, although that's certainly some good reasons. The reason I don't smoke is because that's not good for my body, and I don't need to do that. God gave me a body. If he wanted me to smoke, he'd have put a chimney somewhere. And so I don't smoke because it's not good. Why? Because I need to be a good steward. Now, I have been guilty of being an overeater, and that's also wrong. Because that's gluttony, the Bible says, and I need to manage my body and keep the health under control, to keep it well, so I'm not ruining the health God's given me. And obviously then I don't drink for the same reason. Because I'm going to kill brain cells, and I don't have any to spare. Neither does he. So I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do with my body. It's called being a good steward of my body. Then God gave me a wife, and two are become one. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. No man would ever hate his own body, so I need to be a good steward of the wife that God's given me. I need to recognize when she has a need. The other day, at around Thanksgiving, Black Friday, somebody gave Hannah something as a wedding gift or a bridal shower or whatever. And Hannah was oohing and aahing, but so was Miss Wilma. Oh, that's really nice. Well, you know what I did? Yeah, anyway, don't tell her I said that. But so that's what's going to be under the tree. Why? Because I want to take care of her. And you know, it is kind of fun to marry an Amish person because, you know, they say don't ever buy your wife something that plugs into the electricity. An Amish person loves that stuff, you know what I mean? No, just seriously. Find what they need and also what they want and take care of them. Manage it well. Be a good steward. And then God gives you children. What are you supposed to do with those children? You're supposed to know them well and to be good stewards of the children God's given you. They're not your children. That's why I can't tell Hannah she can't get married and she can't go somewhere else. They're his. I'm just the steward that he has given her to me to manage for 18 plus years. And then God will take one day and use that property that he owns for his benefit. And that's what it, so my children are his and I'm just the steward of them. I'm just to take care of them. A steward owns nothing. He administers what has been placed in his care. We are stewards. That's what we are. As God's people, we're just stewards of what he's given us. But you know what? God's good to his stewards. Can you say amen to that? I mean, God is good to his people. God's good to his servants. I mean, it is. I mean, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I love serving him, and it's very rewarding. And even though I can't say that they're my kids, you know what I mean when I say they're my kids, they're a blessing, and I appreciate God's gift and the blessings that he gives, but they ultimately belong to him. God has entrusted us with what we are to use for his honor and glory, and that's what it's all about. So then, top of page 39, let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ in this matter as the example. He gave himself for us. It says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, he was rich, but for our sakes he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, could be rich. He traded places out of heaven's palace and came to earth and was born in a manger and became poor so that you and I could get saved and be rich and have the joint inheritance with God and him one day. He didn't have to share all that, but he became poor so that we could become rich, so that we could have what he has. And so he gave himself for us. He provided the supreme example of this giving living. You know, that's our example. Our example is Jesus. You know, what would he do? What did he do? And most Christians have never entered into this matter, never learning the precious importance of giving, living. You know, sometimes people are so set on themselves that they show up for church and a visitor is sitting in their seat. Okay, first of all, it is not your seat. Okay? And, but you hear that. Sometimes someone gives what they think is a lot of money to the church. So they assume then that they should have more right or say in what goes on. You didn't give if that's the case. Because true giving has no claim once it's given. And we see that a lot. But you know what? Giving living is when you give with no agenda and you just let God be the one that has it. You give it to the Lord. This week, someone who does not go to our church sent a large check in the mail and just said in the memo, this is the best part of the check, not the numbers. The best part of the check is in the memo. It says, wherever it's needed most. And that's how giving should be. That we just leave it to the Lord's hands. What does God want to do? I'm just going to give it to the Lord, and it's out of my hands. It belongs to him. May God help us to see that there is more to life than getting. I feel sorry for people who are just in the getting business, because one day you're going to leave it all behind. One day you're going to stop breathing, and somebody else is going to take all that and do something with it. There's more to life than getting. Life's about giving, and giving will live longer than you will. Your gifts will outlast you. Your giving will still pay you when you get to heaven. If you lay up treasure in heaven, you'll find it when you get there. Life's about giving. His blessings come to us and through us to others. So the happiest people in the world, according to the box, are giving people. I believe that. I've witnessed that. The happiest, most content people in the world are the giving people. And then thirdly, the goal of our lives. So I kind of been hitting all over this already, but that's the goal. The Bible says again, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister. And the word minister means serve. Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So there are two ways all of our gifts are manifested. And the word manifested means demonstrated. There's two ways in these two verses, minister and speak. All right? In speaking or ministering, you can be a blessing to people by saying the right thing and by maybe serving in the right way. I know of people who have showed up at someone's door, the door of a young mother with a frazzled life trying to juggle everything. And this other lady shows up at the door and says, I just want you to go have a day to yourself. I'll stay home. I'll watch your kids. You just go do something that you don't normally get to do. And while she's gone, that lady's cleaning the house and doing stuff and taking care of the kids and just being a blessing. That doesn't cost a lot of money to do that, you know that? But you know what? That's a real gift. That's a real giving. You can be a minister, see? And you can say the right thing at the right time, speaking and ministering the things at the right time. There's plenty of ways that we can be what God's wanting us to be here and be strong in our giving. The Word of God says everything is to be done that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The whole purpose is that we're glorifying God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do should be to glorify the Lord. The goal of our lives is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we have to remember. And I fail at that. I know I do. I start worrying about me, what people think about me, or whatever it might be, or I get sideways or upset about something, and it's wrong. Our whole purpose is to just glorify God. The people will remember the Lord Jesus Christ. People have many different motives. We all know that. Many are good motives, but not necessarily the best motive. I do think that there are people with good motives, like feeding the poor and providing food and furniture and clothing for people that have needs. I think those are good motives, and I'm not against that. But you know the old saying, you can feed someone for a day, you know, or you can teach them how to fish and they can catch their own fish. You know, you can feed someone for a day, but the next day they're going to need fed again. You can meet a need very temporarily, and furniture, clothing, and food is temporary. And sometimes we think that that's the main thing when it's not the main thing. Not against it. Not at all against it. In fact, if we know of a need in our church, we try to help and try to make sure that that need gets met. But at the same time, it's not necessarily the best motive if it just supplies a physical need. A lot of people like Jesus because he fed them. 5,000 people at one time. And John chapter 6, they're like following him. I mean, they're just crossing the lake just to get to where he is. They're letting go of their whole schedule and following him wherever. Why? Because he fed them. But he told them, he said, you know, you're only following me because you got free lunch, because I can do a miracle. And he called them on it. A lot of people think that that's more important than even what I'm doing right now, teaching the Bible, because they think in their mind that meeting that temporary need matters most, but it's not true. Now, how many of us know that what happens is that it's kind of like it's the sign at Yellowstone, do not feed the bears. If you feed the bears, they'll become dependent on humans. Don't feed the bears. If only we could put that sign on the welfare office. Okay, because a lot of times we think we're meeting the need and we're only enabling the problem and enabling it for later. So with wisdom, we recognize the need and we meet it, but we also recognize that that's not really a good idea to continue that dependency. So people have many different motives, and many are good motives, but not necessarily the best motive. May God help us to be unselfish in giving living people, a giving living type of a person whose goal is that Jesus Christ be honored and glorified through us, that we would point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to help people. If they have a need, we will help them. And if it's legitimate, we will stop what we're doing. We'll help meet that need. We'll do it. But at the same time, I want to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, because if all I did was feed them food or give them some clothes or give them some money, if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell when they die. So ultimately, I need to recognize what they need the most. Now, I do think it would be wrong for me to just stare at a starving person and say, you need to get saved. Well, if I care for them, I'm going to feed them, right? But I'm not going to necessarily feed them for the rest of their lives. I'm going to tell them who has the answer, who can meet their needs. And that's part of it as well. But our goal is to glorify the Lord, that we honor and glorify God. And so here I am for 20 years preaching to everyone about surrendering our lives and putting God first in our life and giving everything to the Lord. And then God says, well, I think I'll have some guy marry your daughter and take her away. So now I got to practice what I preach, right? And we all do. We have to realize that it is God's will, and we have to submit to his will and just be the givers he'd have us to be and glorify the Lord. I think about those two guys, and we don't know which two disciples it was. We don't know which two they were. But these two disciples were sent by Jesus to go find this donkey. I think it's Luke chapter 19. And they go up there and they start untying the donkey. And the owner says, what are you doing? And they said, well, the Lord has need of him. He told us to tell you that he needs him. And that was it. And he let him go. raised that donkey, took care of that donkey, fed the donkey, and let it go. That's like Hannah. She's a donkey. And if God needs her, then that's what needs to happen. And with all of our life, every part of it, if God were to impress upon you, I've seen this before. I know this happens. Some of you have seen it too. I've seen in a missions conference where someone says, you know, God's impressed upon my heart to give my brand new whatever it is to this missionary, this brand new vehicle. I've seen it happen. I've heard stories like that. I've seen where someone in a missions conference said, God's impressed upon my heart to quit my job and be a missionary. Whatever it is, maybe it's just be a blessing to your neighbor. Maybe it's just be a minister within your local church family to desire a ministry, whereas before you were just getting ministered to. But instead of just sitting and soaking it up, now giving it out and passing it on and being a blessing. We need more of that here. I don't want to be Dead Sea Christians. We need to give out what we have been receiving. And so I challenge you with that today as we close. And think about that. Are you living, giving? Are you giving, living? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, and we thank you for the example of Jesus, whose life was given for us. And it multiplied, and it became, of course, a joy and a blessing to you. Help us to recognize that it is more blessed to give than to receive. That we would recognize that maybe we don't have an outlet and it's all just coming in but nothing's going out. Help us to desire to have that outlet, to be ministers and not just ministered to, but that we would be ministers to someone. And may each of us be challenged in that way, that we would be servants for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.